open our eyes that we can see, open our ear that we can hear, and hear your truth and nothing but the truth. And so that as we learn from you as children of light, we live a life of love. And I pray that you help your servant to explain your word clearly to your children. I pray that you bless each and every one of us, and be with us as we walk in your way. We know that from time to time we stumble, but I pray that you lift us up and help us not to be discouraged, but to walk in your way. So one of these days we will see you face to face. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Carl, could you read that chapter 4, the entire chapter, starting from verse 1?
Unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Verse 4, chapter 9. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 14. That we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely, you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we all are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Last week we talked about, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, talk about to live a life of love and to live a life of light. And how do we live a life of love, and how do we live a life of light? In here, I write it down. We live a life of love. A life, live a life of light. That is in 5:2, Ephesians 5:2, and Ephesians 5:8. And how do we live a life of love, and how do we live a life of light? We have to know what is love and what is light. Not from the human standpoint, but from the scriptural standpoint, from God's standpoint. So in order for us to live that kind of life, so we have to know what is love. I want you to write it down in here, the love. The kind of love is godly love, is a sacrificial love, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Could you read that? So in here, John say that what is love? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That is love. That kind of love is it's not a lustful love. It's a sacrificial love. Dying for us so as to rescue us, so as to save our life. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So live a life of love. And in Ephesians chapter 4, how do we live a life of love? In chapter 4, verse 15, chapter 4, verse 25, we live a life of love by speaking the truth in love. We live a life of love by putting off falsehood and speaking truthfully to his neighbor. When we interact with brother and sister within the church, especially in the church of Ephesus, and Paul found out that a lot of brother are not speaking the truth. Because sometimes when you speak the truth, it hurts other people. And people have a misunderstanding of what love is. we just look at the 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We found out when Jesus Christ speaks the truth to us, and he ends up dying on the cross for us. He knows ahead of time when he tells the truth, people will not accept the truth. They love to be deceived. And but Jesus persevered, continued to tell us the truth. Although he knows that he will be crucified on the cross, but that doesn't change his message. So I want you to write it down, another definition of what love is all about. Would you please turn to Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And then you write down Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 3, 11 and 12. Chapter 10, verse 12, Proverbs. Tell us what the biblical love is all about. Read the chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12.
My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in.
What is the reason why the earthly father disciplines his own children? And how come he don't discipline children not his own? In the same way, what is the reason why the Lord disciplines those he loves? What happened if he didn't discipline? Michael? So what happened if your parents do not discipline you? Could you read that Bible verses? Every earthly parent wants his children to be successful, to be prosperous, to be happy. But if the parents see the children going the wrong way, heading in the wrong direction, and I believe the earthly parents will correct them, encourage them, change them in whatever way. If this is what the Lord wants us to do as a parent to their own to our own children, and how much more our Heavenly Father will discipline those he loves. As an earthly father discipline the son he delights in. If he loves the son, he will discipline him. If he doesn't like him, he will not discipline him. So chapter 10, verse 12, Proverbs.
Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all over all wrongs.
Okay. Is there any contradiction between chapter 3, verse 11 and 12? And chapter 10, verse 12, hatred stir up dissensions, but love covers over all wrongs. Love, godly love, cover over all wrongs. So what does it mean? How come his earthly father cannot cover over all his wrong? Instead, why his father want to discipline his son? You know, if you hold on to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, you're saying to your parents, why can't you cover over all wrongs? Why bother discipline me? Why don't you cover it up? So that's why, you know, we have to read the Bible and meditate on it, because from time to time you hear one portion of the scripture, just like Proverbs chapter 10 verse 12. You hear that hatred stir up dissension, but love cover over all wrongs. And then, you know, you expect, if you say to your parents, if you love me, you cover over all wrongs. Just ignore my wrong. Just cover it up. Can anyone explain to me? Is there any contradiction? If a parent disciplines his son, that means he exposed his wrong, right? He didn't cover it. He didn't cover over it, isn't it? He exposed it. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11, having nothing to do with the fruitless deed of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose them is not cover up. You know what? Some people love one portion of the scripture. Make judgment on people based upon what he understands. Just like in those days, the Pharisee judged Jesus, saying that Jesus Christ is not the man of God, is not from God. Why? Because he judged Jesus by saying that he did not observe the Sabbath day. He worked on the Sabbath day. But just that, because the Pharisee and the teacher of the law do not fully understand the truth. We Christian, when we read some portion of the scripture, especially those scripture with a lot of promises, a lot of blessing, we love it. So we have to know, when do we get it? Okay? Who will get it? When and how? How do I get it? You have to know the time. When will I get it? How do I get it? Who will get it? If we don't understand that, we will use one portion of the scripture and judge the other people. The Bible clearly stated that love covers over all wrongs. In other words, we will say, if you love me, you do not expose my wrong. You just cover it up. Right? Isn't it based upon chapter 10, verse 12, Proverbs? Hatred stir up dissension, If someone doesn't like me, he stirred up argument. He exposed my wrong. From that portion of scripture, that's how we understand. Right? No question about that, right? Now, so under what condition do we cover over all wrongs of the other people? When someone asks you, when someone confesses their sins before you and asks you for forgiveness, you cover over all wrongs. That is your love. Trust him. If he asks you for forgiveness. Okay? I'll show you another portion of the scripture. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. But he who confesses and renounces will find mercy. Now, one portion of scripture saying that love cover all wrong. That love cover all wrong. He didn't expect you to cover your own wrong. When you sins against God, when you did something wrong, he expects you, you don't cover it up. You don't conceal it. You confess it. You confess your wrong before God. You confess your iniquity, your transgression before God, and then you renounce it. When you did the right thing, once you confess it, and then renounce it, then God say, I love you. Then you ask God, God, your love, you cover over all wrongs of mine. And I can guarantee you, the Lord will love you and he cover your wrong. And he forgive all your sins. And you find mercy from him. But if you don't confess it, if you don't renounce it, you cover it up yourself, you conceal it. Brother and sister, you cannot claim Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. How do I know? I want you to write it down. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. In whose spirit is no deceit. That means he did not cover it up. He did not conceal his own sins. He exposed it. He confessed it before the Lord and renounced it and asked the Lord for forgiven, and your sin will be forgiven. And then, and only then, your sin will be covered by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't cover yourself. You ask the Lord to cover your sins. You know, I find out from time to time in the Bible, in the church, Christian do not fully understand the scripture, and then he quote the scripture and then accuse the other people. Let's say if you see your friends heading to destruction, and you say that he's my good friend, what would you do? You just let him do, keep on doing what he's doing? Jerry, what would you do? If you see your good friends heading towards destruction, he's going to destroy himself. You try to help him? Could you tell me how you're going to help him? Because, like, remember chapter 4, verse 1? As a prisoner of Christ, I urge you to live a life worthy to the calling that you have received from the Lord. The Lord calls us to live a life of love, live a life of light. Light shine on darkness will expose sins. If you see your friends heading towards the wrong way, how are you going to help him? So you're never thinking about that, right? You have no idea. Okay. Carl?
Change my ways first.
You change your way? Why you have to change your way first?
Make myself worthy.
Worthy of calling that, right? Okay. That's good. And then?
And then use my life as witness.
Okay. How are you going to witness for Jesus?
Just living worthy of the calling. Living a life of love.
So, the what is the biblical love is all about?
Sacrificial love.
So you willing to say something to your friend, you may upset him, but you're willing to take the risk, right? Very likely he's gonna resent your advice, because who do you think you are to say to me like that? And but if you love him, you will tell him that. You not only tell him that direction is the wrong way, but you tell him what is the right way too. So now, take a look at that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. How can you apply that to your friends?
So how do you apply that to your friend? Using chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. You're not his father, right? But in a sense, you are his spiritual father. If you know the truth, he doesn't know the truth. If you want to save him and help him. So how? How are you going to help him? Could you turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9, as a friend? So, you know, what should we do to our friends? Chapter 27, verse 9. Chapter 27, verse 5. You can deal with your friend like that. Chapter 27, verse 6. Could you read that? 5, 6, and 9. So, chapter 27, Proverbs, what did I say? Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 5, 6, 9, and 17. Now, you are not his father, you are not his mother, okay? But you are his friend, he's your good friends, okay? And see that how we deal with our friend. 27 verse 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. You know, hidden love is very good. You know what hidden love is all about? Let's say if you sow some good seed, you say behind, like Donald back, you say, wow, Donald is very good, he's hardworking, and he's a good boy, and he's diligent in his study, and you say a lot of good things. I mean, not telling lie, okay, telling the truth, okay? And behind him. And then 10 months later, someone say, oh, so-and-so say that Donald is like that. Say in front of Donald say, who is he? Oh, this is Michael. That is hidden love, okay? Because he's not trying to flatter you. He says something behind your back, good thing behind your back. That's hidden love. And that's good stuff. You're not trying to flatter him, okay? You're not trying to please him. You just say, that person is a good man. You better make friends with him. That's hidden love. That he don't know until years later or whatever. Or he may not even know it, okay? But if he know it, he'll be very, very happy. But can you imagine if you say something bad about Donald and then 2 days later he heard about it, he's going to call you and say, what do you mean by that? Why are you saying what you're saying? You understand what I'm trying to say? But now in here, 27 verse 5, he say, if you want to live a life of light, want to live a life of love, the Bible say, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Open rebuke. I want you to write it down. Open rebuke. Write it. Proverbs 10:20. Love cover over all wrong. If you love that person, you're not supposed to open rebuke him. How come you open rebuke him? Because you know that if you keep on doing like that, you're gonna lose your friend. So that's why we need wisdom from God as to what to do. in every situation. Before you do it, you ask the Lord, am I the right person to say that? Is this the right moment to say that? And then you need a lot of prayer for him or for her so that he will accept your rebuild. You understand what I mean? You really need to put a lot of effort. You know, if you need to save your friends, help him, you know. You need the power from God, because human being cannot change another human being. You know, we need the help from God. If you love your friend, you want him to be prosperous and successful and happy, you need to put an effort to do that. Chapter 27, verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. When you rebuild him, openly rebuild him, you hurt him. But later on, he found out you are his friend. At that time, he hates you. He may distance himself from you. But don't give up, because if you truly love him, okay, you persevere. In here, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiply kisses. It do you no good if your enemy kiss you. Can you imagine, you know, Judah kissed Jesus, right? Rabbi, how are you? And end up betraying him. What good does it do? You know, he's shaking his hand with you, say, you are my friend. And then he stabbed you in the back. It do you no good. Right? But nowadays in the society, a lot of people, they multiply kisses, and yet they are not your friend. They are your enemy. You better watch out. Okay? It's not because someone kissed you, then he liked you. No, not necessary. Someone who liked you, he openly rebuild you for your own good. And the Bible say you don't like that person right away, but later on, you find out he's your friend. You like him. Verse 9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend spring from his earnest counsel. That earnest counsel. You write that down, earnest counsel. What is earnest counsel? Psalm 119, verse 24. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselor. If you speak the truth, speak the word of God to your friend and guide him the right way, that's just like a perfume. Just like incense, bring joy to the heart. Finally, he knows you are his friends. Whatever the counsel you give to your friend, if it is from the word of God, and if it is the Lord want you to do it, the Lord will reward you, because you save another soul. I want you to turn to James, the last chapter, chapter 5, the last two verses, 19 and 20. James, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back. How do we bring him back? We bring him back from the truth. Because he's wandered from the truth, we bring him back with the word of God, so that he walk in the truth. Remember this, whoever turn a sinner from error from the error of his way, and will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And cover over a multitude of sins. I want you to circle the word cover over multitude of sin. You write down Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. That is love. You save your friend's soul by risking your life, by allowing him to hate you, resent your advice, but eventually he found out you are his friend. You pray for him after you say what you have said. You keep being his friend. Don't walk away from him. Keep on loving him. Eventually, God's going to use you to save his soul. He turn around, and God will cover over a multitude of sins. Cover all wrongs. That is love. Takes a lot of effort, man. Oh, now, you know, we understand the kind of love we understand is, you know, I just don't deal with your sin. I just get off. Get away from it. I don't want to be involved. And the Lord know that. You know that he's heading in the wrong direction and you refuse to tell him. And the Lord going to hold you accountable to that. Could someone turn to Ephesians chapter 3? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. That's Old Testament teaching.
When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do not warn the wicked man and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for a sin, but you will have saved yourself.
So what about Christian walking away from his faith? You know, you see a lot of Christian. When they were young, they were baptized, they go to the church with their parents, and when they are old, they don't go to the church. They walk away from the faith. They wander from the truth. And just like the book of Proverbs saying, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. You don't cover the multitude of sin. You allow Jesus Christ to cover a multitude of sin. When would Jesus Christ cover a multitude of sin? When the sinner turned from his error, when the sinner turned from his evil way and turned towards God and repent, God say, I cover over the multiple of his sins. Okay? That's love. You bring him towards God's love. You got that? Sometimes, you know, if you don't understand the scripture, we do it in the wrong way. We thought we love his friend, but in fact, we lead him to hell. So what about 20 to 21? You don't read that.
Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. 21. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself.
So what happens if you go to a fellowship? Okay, to a Christian church? You go to a fellowship, and then after the fellowship, your friend invite you to his apartment, and then you find out that your friend's living with another girl. in the same apartment. They live together. It's a one-bedroom apartment. So what would you do, Carl? He said, wow, good for you. Wow. Good stuff. Eh?
Yeah.
Say cool, eh? You say, you don't say cool? It's
not cool.
It's not cool?
That's not cool.
That's not cool? No. So what would you say to your friend? He's your good friend. He invite you to his house. He don't expect you to give him a lecture. So how you find it to go say I love to stay with my boyfriend, okay, it's none of your business. What do you mean you find another accommodation? We are happy with the accommodation that we have arranged. We save some money. We share the apartment. We share the rent.
Yeah.
It's not cool?
Then I'll have to turn to Ephesians chapter 4.
Oh, go what the Ephesians chapter 4 saying. Ephesians 4:17-19. Well, so what happened if I continue to live as a Gentile?
Well, then you will surely die.
Where does it say? I didn't see that in here, 17 and 19. So, Joyce, what are you going to say? What happened if I continue to do so? And verse 5, what does verse 5 say? 5 to 6, 5 to 7.
Well, this you can be sure, no immoral or pure or greedy person, such a man is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
So in other words, you're telling me if I keep on living with my girlfriend, I end up going to hell? Is that what you're trying to say to me? Are you judging me? Oh, God will judge you. Okay, you say you're not judging me. God will judge me. So what happened if I refuse to listen? And then verse 6 and 7, what did the Bible say?
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them.
Yeah, but I go to the church. The pastor tell me that I'm saved once for all, you know? Are you telling me that I can't go to heaven? Well, I heard my pastor say that I'm saved, you know. I have eternal life. Now you're telling me I can't inherit the kingdom of God? What are you talking about?
I'd say let's go over to Pastor John.
No, you go to Pastor John. So I'm not coming to Pastor John Church. I go to another church. I don't want to listen to him. I want to hear what you have to say to me, okay?
Put recording on the internet.
So Donald, what are you going to say? I tell you what you're going to say, okay? Verse 6, he say, Now, verse 5, it says, the person who commit adultery will not inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. That means if you keep on doing what you're doing until you die, if you don't change it, you keep on doing it, at this moment, when you die, you go to hell. But I think God would not allow you to go to hell. He would discipline you. His wrath will come to you, and you're going to suffer pain. You may lose your job. You may lose your health. You may lose your wealth. But you suffer, and you're going to turn around. But you say to your friend, you're my friend, I don't want to see you get hurt. Because then you tell the story of David. David committed adultery, take another person's wife, and kill her husband, right? And end up what? God take away 4 of his children. And David learned a hard lesson. And from then onward, he never commit adultery anymore. Don't do that. You ask your friend to confess it. Don't live together. You know why? I tell you one thing. When a Christian go into fellowship, from time to time they invite you to his apartment. Okay? But if he's your good friend, you don't just tell the Pastor John, you don't tell me, you save him. You study the Bible, you know what the scriptures say. You take him out for coffee next day and talk to him. Open up the Bible. Let him read the Bible. Because the truth can guide him back to the path of righteousness. Man's word will not change people. When you use God's word, God hear that, and God see that, and God know that you speak on his behalf. You're speaking the truth with love, and God will deliver. God will not let his word go in vain, and God's wrath will come to him. When God's wrath come to him, he will turn around. You know how Israelite turn around? The prophet prophesies. If you keep on doing what you're doing, God will judge us. They don't believe it because God is patient, God is kind, God is compassionate. And after 20, 30 years, boom, all of a sudden, the wrath comes. And then they realize God is a righteous God. And then they turn around. Before you speak to your friend, nothing will happen. After you speak to your friend, you keep praying. Say, Lord, save my friend. I don't want my friend to go to hell. Make sure what I say will be fulfilled in due time. Your time, O Lord, not my time, your time. Because your time is the best time. He will turn around. You know what? If you know how to deal with your friends, you'll be a good steward of God's word. In the future, when you become a parent of your own, you can deal with your children. You know it works. Don't wait until you have a children, then you learn how to do it. That will be too late. Because if you apply that God's word to your friends, it works, then you know how to deal with your own children. So if you're well-versed, if you know what you are saying, if you read the scripture, understand it, and apply it. Apply first of all to your own life, and then apply to your friend's life. In the future, when you become parents, you can apply that to your children's life, and your children will be successful. And that's exactly how the prophet deal with the people of God. And that's exactly how you deal with your own friends. Because eventually, God can ask you, Joyce, where is your friend? You walk with him, you walk with her, so long. Do you speak the word of God to them? Do you speak truthfully to them? And don't you know, if you guide your friend away from deception, from error of his way. You bring him to God, God will cover a multiple of his sins. God will cover over all wrong of him. And you end up saving his soul. And God going to reward you. You say, oh, I know nothing about that. Then God going to hold you accountable to it. You know what? I tell you one thing. Not that you have chosen God, but God chosen you. He chosen you to deliver the message to your friends. He will not be able to hear the message from Pastor John, but he will be able to hear the message from you because you walk with them daily, from Monday to Friday. You know what I mean? Especially if your friend's smoking, you tell him it's not good for your lung. Show him some, you know, film, you know, for those people who have cancer in the lung. Save some friends. Be the ambassador for Christ. Live a life of light. Shine on them and save them. Live a life of love and love them. Not having you cover over his wrong, but let Jesus Christ to cover his wrong. Guide him. How do he get it? Because love cover over all wrong. I am going to introduce a way for you how to experience God's love. By confessing your sin, renounce your sin, do not cover up yourself. If you cover up yourself, God will not cover your sin. God will expose it and make you feel ashamed until you turn around. Do you understand? 27:17. What is 17 saying? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. A friend sharpens another friend. How do you sharpen your friend? What does he mean by sharpen? You sharpen him, he become a noble instrument, a useful instrument. He will not be an ignoble vessel. He become a noble vessel. You sharpen him. You know what? You sharpen him. In the future, when he grows spiritual mature, he's going to sharpen you too. You make him look good, he make you look good. 27:17, as iron sharpen iron, so one man sharpen another. A friend sharpen another friend. Don't you think the Lord wants us to do that? That is what it means by live a life of love. Live a life of light. You know what? The more you memorize God's word, the more you apply God's word in your own life, the more you'll be able, effective, to apply God's word to your friend's life. And you can bring them to Christ. You know why there's a lot of Christians? Do you know why a lot of Christians are not effective in bringing people to Christ? First of all, we don't know the truth. We only know the half truth. We don't fully understand that. So I encourage brother and sister to have daily devotion. What did I say? In a daily devotion, how many chapters of Psalms? Carl? No, I didn't say three. If it's three chapters, oh. One chapter? No, I didn't say one.
Five
chapters. Oh, good try. Psalm has 150 chapters. If you read five chapters, you need 30 days to finish the entire book of Psalms. Okay? On the February, you have to work a little bit harder. On the 24th day of the month is your busiest month.
because that Psalm 119 has 176 verses, okay? Right? Right? Christopher, right? That's the longest one, you know? 176 verses, okay? So on the 24th day is the busiest one. So don't call your friend on 24 days of every month. Leave them alone. Let them read the Bible, okay? It takes longer to read it, okay? Right? Right. And then Proverbs has 31 chapters. You read one chapter a day. I tell you one thing. Proverbs can make you wise, become a wise man. If you're a foolish person, you become wise. If you're a wise person, already makes you wiser. Proverbs teach you how to be a parent, how to be a good worker, how to be a good friend, how to be a good colleague. I find that very, very useful. Okay? If some Bible verses, like what I quoted today, you start familiar yourself with it and see whether you can apply that in your own life and apply in the life of your friend. You know what? If your church have 50 people, to bring your church to 100 people is not difficult. If you make a commitment before the Lord, Lord, use me to bring at least one people to come to know you. We will multiply that. But nowadays, a lot of Christians, they don't see that. Because we don't apply the word of God in our own lives. We think our friend's life has nothing to do with our lives. But the Bible says the other way. As iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. How do you sharpen your friends if you do not know the truth? If you don't live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. God wants you to live a life of love, want you to live a life of light, to shine upon your friend, to expose him, but to help him. So that God cover multiple of his sins. So that he receive love from God. You understand what I'm trying to say? I tell you one thing, you know what impressed me? When I go to the church, the West Side Church, 30-some-odd years ago, because I go to that church, at that time, Simon Ho teach Sunday school. I go to all other Sunday school. I don't even know what they are talking about. But when I attend Simon Ho Sunday school, he knows the Bible. I attend the Sunday school, and then I invite him, say, could you come to my house at 2 o'clock on Sunday? Tell me more about Jesus Christ. And he come to my house and share the gospel to me. My wife and myself received Jesus Christ 30 some odd years ago. If you do not read the scripture, how can you sharpen your friends? You tell me. He's going to sharpen you to become more like him instead of you sharpen him to be more like Christ. You understand? You know what? You are now not married, you are young. If you read the Bible, know your truth, apply that in your own life, I can guarantee you, the Lord is going to use you. And your family will be blessed. Do you remember, Joyce? If you keep on doing what you're doing, you will not be what you are now. Right? Because we all say, I can't do it. I say, yes, you can do it if you try. Yes, you can. because I can do all things through him who give me strength. Jesus Christ will give me strength to do it. If you can encourage your friends, you have that technique, you have that skill, you polish it. As iron sharpen an iron, so one man sharpen another. Then you can sharpen your children. Make him noble instrument and vessel in God's sight. And then you can say to God, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. As iron sharpen iron, that iron become a needle, will be useful in the work of hands. You understand? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our children, encourage them to read your word daily so that they have a full counsel, understand what you have to say to us so that we allow your words to change our life. We don't wander away from your truth. We don't walk in our own way. We walk in your way. And I pray that you help us to live a life of love. The kind of love is not a lustful love. It's a sacrificial love. We know that as we expose the sins of the other people, we may be rebuilt. We may be rejected. And they will be angry at us. But we are willing to take the risk because we love them. We continue to pray for them so that they receive the blessing, receive the love, the sacrificial love from God. How you love us, I pray that you love our friend too and use us to be your instrument, noble instrument, and to bring people into your kingdom. Lord, if we are faithful in serving you when we are in need, and I pray that when we cry out to you, you hear our prayer too. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.